Well, it is an honor and a privilege each time to have the opportunity to preach God's Word to God's people here at Pauline Baptist Church and fill in for Brother Dallas while he is gone. I certainly hope I can live up to all the kind words and expectations that everybody has put forward. Sometimes I wonder, I hear that stuff, and I'm like, are they talking about me, really? I'm just the messenger, and so that's my job this morning, to bring God's message to you. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here as brothers and sisters in Christ, to hear your word this morning, to sing songs of praise to you. And so, Lord, it's my prayer this morning that the words that are said here today would not be words of my invention or anyone else's, but would be words from you that you would have us to hear, words that would teach us about you and your works and your ways, words that would draw us to a closer relationship with you through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Well, today I would like to bring a message titled, The Greatest Sacrifice. The Greatest Sacrifice. Of course, on this weekend, it's Memorial Day weekend, and that is a day that we set aside to honor those who have given their lives in service to our country in the military, as we should. We should remember them. We should honor them. That indeed is the greatest sacrifice that mortal men and women can make, to give their lives for others, for their country, for their families, for their friends. But as we stop to remember those who have served our country with distinction and with honor and with that greatest sacrifice, I'm also reminded of one who gave the ultimate sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice ever given in human history, and that is Jesus Christ. His sacrifice, not to diminish those of any others that have given their lives for us, but Jesus' sacrifice excels them all. We're told about that sacrifice in many passages in the Bible. And the one I'd like to look at this morning is the book of Romans, chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 7. So if you would turn there with me this morning in your Bible, Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. Of course, Romans is a letter from the Apostle Paul written to the Christians who were living in ancient Rome, a place that was hostile to Christians and to the Christian faith. And so those Christians who were there, Paul was wanting to go and see them and to see them in person, but as of the writing of this letter, he had not been able to do so. And so through this letter, he wanted to tell them some things that the Lord had laid on his heart and inspired him to share with them. And the first part of the book of Romans dives very deeply into the theology of our justification before God through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And it goes into great detail about that and all of its implications and facets. And here we see in the passage that we're about to read now a glimpse of that, of the greatness of Christ's sacrifice. And so let's read together Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 7. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Jesus made the sacrifice for us. And so we want to examine that this morning. And we want to look at three life-changing truths about Christ's death and resurrection. First, Christ, through his death and resurrection, shows God's love to us. It shows God's love to us. Now, Paul begins this passage in verse 7. It's with the idea that it is doubtful that one will die, even for someone who is worthy of it. Look at what he says. He says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." One that is righteous, one that is just, one that is upright, one that is innocent. He says, it's a long shot that someone would die even for someone like that. A good person. Then he goes on and mentions one that he calls good. Yet perhaps, maybe, for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Someone who is good. Someone who is upright. Someone who is virtuous. These are the best of people. People we would consider good, virtuous, great people, righteous people. Paul says, somebody might be willing to die for them, maybe, under the right circumstances, but it's doubtful. But then he talks about what was done by Jesus. Jesus Christ died for those who were worthless. That includes me. I wasn't worthy of that. I wasn't worthy of Christ's sacrifice. I was worthy of hell because I lived in rebellion against God. I was in opposition to God. I was an enemy of God. I cared nothing for God before I met him. And therefore was worthy of his wrath and indignation. But, he says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, those who had deviated from the path of righteousness, we weren't even trying. Come on. I didn't try, right? A lot of us didn't try. And even if we did try, we failed. But even so, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news, folks. Because that means that the sinner can be saved. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are, God loves you. And he demonstrated that. He did something to show us that. And that is, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And when it says die for us, it means die in our place. We deserved punishment. We deserved death. We deserved hell. Jesus took the punishment we deserved on the cross so that we don't have to endure that. And he did it for one reason, and one reason only, because God loves us. That's why. We didn't deserve it. He didn't do that because he said, you know, he's a nice guy. I think I'll give him a break. Mm-mm. That's not why he did it. He didn't do it because, well, you know, he's really trying hard, so I'm going to give him credit for trying. We'll grade him on the curve, you know. Now, that happens in school sometimes, but that doesn't happen in the spiritual realm. That's not why that happened. It happened for this reason, because God loved us just that much. Even those who spat in Jesus' face, God loved them. That's why he went through that for us. That's why it's such a great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Because even though we were in opposition, he still loved us enough to die in our place so we could be saved. You know, there's a lot of people that'll say they care about you, say that they love you, but they don't do anything to show you that, right? It's like, show me, right? Do something to show me that. Do something, you know. Where are you when I need you, right? God did something. Something significant. Something amazing. He sent Jesus to die for us. That's what he did. Never doubt God's love for you. You know, sometimes we doubt God's love for us. We sin, we make mistakes, and we think because of that, well, God's done with me now. Look at what I did. The devil's happy to remind you of what you did too. Oh, look at what you did. God's mad at you now. God's not going to use you now. You're done. You're washed up. No. You're not done. You're not washed up. God isn't through with you. God doesn't stop caring about you. He knew everything you were ever going to do in your entire life thousands of years ago when Jesus died on the cross. It's not a surprise to God. He knew everything you would ever do from birth to death. And he loved you anyway and sent Jesus to die for you. So don't believe that God somehow doesn't love you or quits loving you. He don't quit. He knew what he was getting into at the start, and he loved you that much. Trust in his love. Never doubt his love for you. Well, not only did Christ's death and resurrection show God's love for us, it also showers God's grace on us. It showers God's grace on us. Look at verse 9. He says, much more then, there's more. Oh, the first part was good, but here's some more. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That word justified, it means that he removes our guilt. That word justified means acquitted, declared not guilty. I've heard it described as just as if I'd never sinned, and that's a good description of that. Justified. Did we do it? Yes. Did Jesus pay for it? Yes. That means case closed. You're acquitted. You're done. The guilt is gone. Once you have confessed it to God, don't keep it with you. Leave it there. It's been paid for. Don't keep rehashing that. There's a guilt that brings us to God so that we'll get things right with God, and that's a good thing. If you discover something in your life that you need to get right with God, then get it right with God. Bring it to him, confess it to him, repent of that thing, and be cleansed of it. God allows U-turns. He allows us to do that. He wants us to do that. But once you have done that, you don't have to feel guilty about it anymore. God says it's done. There's an old Southern gospel song, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. That's what justified means. In the book where they're recorded, God tears them out. Done. Done. Gone. Why? Jesus paid for them. So he removes our guilt and he rescues us from wrath. Look at the last part of that. We shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, you don't hear much about God's wrath anymore. We don't. I think we're afraid that if we mention God's wrath that it'll turn people off to the gospel. But you know, there's a reason why we needed to be saved. Because we were in trouble. Without Jesus, we were under God's wrath. But He loved us enough to provide a way out. That's the good news. That's why it is the gospel, the good news. Because although we were under wrath, God provided a way out. And so notice that this part here, we shall be saved from wrath. That's future. The wrath is yet to come. He's talking about judgment day. That wrath. On judgment day, those who have their faith in Jesus won't have anything to worry about. Because Jesus has paid for your sins. And your way to heaven has been paid for. You've got a ticket into glory land. And it's yours when you put your faith in Jesus. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. When I thought about this, I thought about what if someone were guilty of massive tax evasion? Okay? And they hadn't paid their taxes, a lot of taxes, in a long, long time. They do put people in jail for that. And just imagine if someone were before the judge. They're about to be sentenced. The sentence is about to be handed down. But then at the last minute, oh, wait a minute. Somebody paid that tax debt off. They just paid it off. Write out a check. Done. Paid for. You can go. All right. Woo! Set free. Because somebody paid my debt. Spiritually, we had a debt we could never pay. If I could be perfect from now through the rest of my life, it would not make up for what I've already done. Because I did it. If I'm good now, it just means that I'm good now. And I'm not getting myself in worse trouble. But it doesn't wipe out what I did in the past. Only the blood of Jesus can wipe out what was done in the past. And that's what He did. Paid for. Paid in full. We don't owe that debt anymore. So, turn from your sins. Put your trust in Jesus. And once you have, you don't have to fear anymore. You can't lose your salvation. You didn't do anything to get yourself saved, and you can't do anything to get yourself unsaved. Jesus did that. We just receive it by faith. So we can take courage in that. We can take comfort in that. We can rejoice in that. Well, not only did Christ, through His death and resurrection, show God's love to us and shower God's grace on us, He also shared God's favor with us. Look at verse 10. He says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Notice that he says that we were enemies. Now, none of us would think that we're enemies of God or were enemies of God, but that's exactly what we were before we met Christ. We were fighting against Him. We weren't fighting for Him. It was all about self. It was all about me. What I want, going my way. I'm in charge. But then, once we meet Jesus, we surrender to Him and He's in charge, and it all changes then. We go from being an enemy to being His child. We go from being opposed to Him to being on His side and fighting for Him. Instead of fighting against Him, we're fighting for Him now. So while we were enemies, he says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, and we were, we just saw that. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There's the exchange. There's that word reconcile. It means change or exchange. In Christ, we are changed. We're no longer an enemy. Not anymore. I was, but I'm not now. I've switched teams, so to speak. God put me on his team. He came to me when I was a sinner, when I was lost, when I didn't care anything about him. And he revealed himself to me and the good news of how Jesus died to pay for my sins. And if I would turn from them and put my trust in him, I could have eternal life. I received that and God saved me. And he took me from being on the opposing team to being on his team. From being a sinner to being a saint. From being on the road to hell to being on the road to heaven. It's a change. Notice once again, the future tense, we shall be saved, rescued by his life. You know, if Jesus had not resurrected from the dead, none of the gospel would mean anything. Because Jesus said he could give eternal life. Now, if he didn't come back to life, then we would question that. But he did come back to life. He can give eternal life. He has eternal life, and he gives it to those who put their trust in him. So when we stand before God on judgment day, our plea is that Jesus died for us on the cross. That's it. And that's all it takes. That's the only thing that can save us, and that's all we need. When I thought about this change, I remembered an old photo that I had seen from, it was in the 1920s or 1930s. It was on a documentary I had watched, and it was of old Civil War vets from both sides, from the Confederacy and the North. And they had gotten together for a reunion on a battlefield that they had fought on years and years and years prior in their uniforms, if they could still wear them. And they came and they actually showed them shaking hands on the same battlefield where they had fought decades before. They were enemies before. In the war, they were trying to kill each other. But now they were friends and shaking hands as comrades. Things had changed. We were God's enemies, but no longer. No longer. Now we are God's children in Jesus Christ. So since we have been made his children, don't fight him any longer. There's no reason to fight him now. Just go with it. God's so good. He loves us so much. He wants what's best for us. Just go with what God wants in your life. Don't fight him. Sometimes we kind of revert back to our old ways sometimes, and we tend to think, and we would never say it. We would never think it consciously, but maybe in the back of our mind, our idea might sound a little better to us than what we think God's idea is. Don't fall for that, because his idea is best. Even if it sounds crazy, if it sounds outlandish, if it sounds like the worst possible thing in the world, God knows what he's doing. And he loves us, and he's shown that he loves us, and he cares for us. Just trust him. Just give it over to him. And you'll find that God's way is the best way. So Christ in his death and resurrection, he shows us God's love. He showers God's grace on us. And he shares God's favor with us. So our response, first, accept God's love. Maybe there's someone who has never, for whatever reason, never received Jesus as their Savior. Do it today. Don't put it off. Don't wait. You've got everything to gain by trusting Jesus Christ right now and receiving Him as your Savior. So during the invitation time, come on down. We'll pray together and you can receive Christ today. Secondly, live in God's grace. Those of us who've received Jesus, keep that in mind, the greatness of God's gift to us, and live in that grace. Live for God. Trust God. Follow Him. Also, rejoice in God's favor. God has given us His favor. Rejoice in that. Be glad in that. Develop and maintain your relationship with God through personal devotion and share that joy with others. You've got something to be happy about. It's good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. Share it with somebody. Tell somebody how good God is to you and how they can have the same thing you've got. The greatest sacrifice made by Christ for you, for me, for everybody on planet Earth who will receive it. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful for the great, great, great sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Purchased our salvation by paying for our sins with His own blood so that we could be set free. Free from guilt, free from sin, heirs with Jesus of eternal life. Lord, we're so thankful. And it's my prayer this morning, if someone needs to get saved this morning, they come and we could pray together and they could leave here knowing that they are a child of God today. It's my prayer that those of us who've already received Jesus, that we will take comfort, we will take joy in the knowledge of what You have done for us, and that we will be encouraged to live for You and to share the good news with others. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.